world offers many wide avenues and beautiful boulevards to walk. Our God invites us to walk the road of service and sacrifice. Our society suggests we put down our roots in the shallow soil of pleasure and greed.
Our God seeks to plant us on the banks of hope, watered by the rivers of joy and grace.
Our culture promotes achievement, success, climbing to the top, ringing the bell. Our God tells us, if we want to be first, we need to go to the end of the line.
We gather together today to worship the one who invites us to take the path less travelled, knowing that he walks it with us.
Psalm 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the vice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the river bank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff, scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction.
So my reflections on lockdown and the pandemic are this. It's been a massive time of change, disruption to daily life, and it's affected probably each one of us personally. Some have felt blessed, spending time with family and so on. Some have been utterly devastated with circumstances, but not just personally. With if you look outside, you know, the whole world has been affected globally, locally. It's been an incredible time of massive uncertainty. And things continue to change, don't they? And can only just sort of grasp what's going on until the next thing and the next easing of the guidelines and so on. And as we emerge out of lockdown, you know, I don't think that's going to be a sort of new normal either. It's going to, I think, continue to change, at least for the short to medium term. How do we cope with this? So my reflections are twofold. Firstly, that we have faith. We have faith. If I stand here, this is the world. This is fear and anxiety as change swirls around us. But if I stand over here, this is my rock. Because Christ never changes. God's promises never falter or fail us. In the Old Testament, of course, he promised the Israelites that the Messiah would come and save not just the Israelites, but the rest of humanity. And of course, that Messiah was Jesus. Jesus embodied the kingdom and broke through into the present time and brought eternity with him. And as he died and was resurrected, eternity remained through his spirit, who we can bring ourselves and allow ourselves to be involved in. So that's the first thing. Stand on your rock. That's your foundation. And it's a foundation of love. Jesus teaches us in Matthew's gospel that to seek first the kingdom and not to worry about the other things. He will deal with that. In fact, he already has dealt with it. So seek first his kingdom, because his kingdom is love. It's one of love. And that's my rock. That's where I'm going to stand while the rest of the world goes a bit crazy. And secondly, my second reflection is this, that although Christ never changes and God's promises never change, so we can trust him, his spirit, who tells us and witnesses to this unchanging, unfailing love for us and for the world, is actually constantly being creative. So not changing as such, but looking at new ways to build on his kingdom, build this love within the world that he desires and pursues. Because, of course, God's always, through his spirit, bringing the kingdom into its fullness in time. And that is our promise. So in this new uncertain era that we're in, we can, with our trust and our built on our rock, that we stand on the foundation of love because of Christ, we can then look to see where God's Spirit is working and join in. And that's the joy, whatever else is happening. So yes, there is fear and anxiety, and yes, we must acknowledge our humanity within that, but seek first the kingdom, and you will know the joy even in the midst of uncertainty. Blessings to everybody.
We've seen so much in the last few months of all the things that we thought were certain in our economy and national things, and it turns out to be uncertain. And I found it good just to look at some of the things in our Christian faith that are certain and unchanged. We have a sure and certain hope. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Great truths that we can hold on to in times of difficulty. And we've seen too, the church has changed its shape. For instance, Spring Harvest couldn't hold its conference this year. But all the things that they were going to do on their three sites have been put onto YouTube. And the reports are that thousands of people have benefited from Spring Harvest this year that would never have done so had they been live. And then we've had our own Sundays and Wednesdays that Peter, Vicky and others have produced for us. They've been wonderful, so faith-building, so inspiring, exciting. Good things have come out of situations that we would never have dreamt of. Bad situations, good outcome. But, and it's a big but, I've found one thing. I've found it more difficult to pray, even though I've had plenty of time. How do I pray for the world and our nation, other than to use words of other people? Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. We need his mercy upon our planet. And how do I pray for my family? The beginning of the year, my children and grandchildren were all set up for the year, and now the whole thing's upside down. How do I pray for them? Except to use the words that are whizzing around the world now. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine on you. Be gracious to you and give you peace. They need peace, as we all do. And as I live here day by day, the words have come back to me from an unlikely source. Day by day, day by day. For these three things, O Lord, I pray. To see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly. Day by day. Amen. Amen.
I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Thank you.
In the garden of my previous house, I had a grapevine. It was very old and very big. I should have pruned it more, but I always worried that it might not grow again. Or worse still, I might kill it. I've seen them prune vines, and they trim them right back. They do grow again. Sadly, the fruit mine produced was testament to my less than robust pruning. Pruning is fairly easy to accept when it's cutting back the bad stuff and the weak stuff and, of course, the old stuff. Some things are just past their use by date. But pruning the good stuff? Come on, really? It's all going so well. It's all chugging along very nicely, thank you. But trimming produces even more, even better fruit. I don't know about you, but I want to be doing what my Father in heaven is calling me to do. And that may mean dealing with the rotten stuff and even laying down what looks like it's good and healthy, being prepared to prune back anything that inhibits spiritual growth. It's not all about the work I produce, the tangible productivity of my life. It's about my spiritual character. I want to grow well, to produce fruit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. John uses the word remain 7 times in these 8 verses of John 15. I think perhaps he's trying to get a message across. Remain in him and him in me. I am so glad my Father is the gardener. He knows how to prune properly, how to prune well. Not just the results of what I'm doing, but the results of who I'm growing into. Hopefully letting my Father be the gardener and prune my life. It means I'm growing to be more like Jesus and consequently demonstrating more fruit of the Spirit.
Loving God, we pray for those who are denied access to the things in life we take for granted. Food and clothing, work, a basic education, proper housing, mobility, health, companionship, love, human rights, liberty, freedom of speech, justice, peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Prosper the efforts of all who fight for their rights, all who labour to give them help and hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for those who feel themselves denied access to you, separated by guilt, doubts, past mistakes, or lack of faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May all who seek your presence, all who ask for your forgiveness and all who long for your love find in Jesus Christ the way, the truth and the life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer in the name of Christ. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let's share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.